Hello, I'm Rachel Turkenage, and welcome to my podcast, Insights on the Akedah, part of Rachel Center's High Holiday Resource Kit. The story of the binding of Isaac, Akedah Yitzchak in Hebrew, is probably one of the most challenging of our Torah moments. It's when God approaches Avram and says, the child that you have with Sarah, the child that I promised you, the one that you had waited for, and is now within that child, all of covenant and all the promises and agreements we've had, I want you to take him up on a mountain and I want you to sacrifice him to me. In fact, the particular sacrifice is called an olah, which is a burnt offering. It means everything burns to ashes. Nothing should be left. It is the most extreme of our sacrifices. And that's the one God is saying he wants Avram to do. And it's challenging in the sense that God is asking it. It's challenging in the sense that Avram's actually going to try to do it. It's challenging that Isaac is there. And if he's a child when this is happening, then that hurts us even more. If he's an adult, where one of the Midrashim says that in fact he is an adult when this is happening, then we really have to question why is he going along with this? The question of where is Sarah in all of this? And everything about it brings it right to the forefront of the challenges that Torah can present to us. And then what we do is we take it and we read it together in the high holidays in shul. So we're not even saying, I mean, there are moments of challenge in Torah, and we read them when we get to them, but we don't really pull them out for a time when we're all gathered, and then together we say, and now let's read one of our most challenging moments in Torah, and let's read it together. And so we even have questions about why would we be doing this on the high holidays as a moment of inspiration? If it's something that really gets us to that point where we almost have to say, I so don't understand this that I don't know what to do with my confusion. Is that really where we want the high holidays to lead us? It challenges us in our theology with God. It challenges us in our ancestry with how could Avram do it. It challenges us with the concept of victimhood. How is Isaac responding to all of this as a victim? And is victimhood now being cemented into the Torah as something that is part of who we are? And what are we going to do with that kind of statement? And of course, it challenges us when it talks about the impact of it, because Sarah is not going to survive this incident. She dies shortly thereafter. And many of the Midrashim say she dies because of the binding of Isaac narrative. It's causal. So the impact that it brings to us is the statement of the price that others pay for the things I do, for my moments of choice, the relationships that I'm involved in. I can't isolate my moments of choice and say it doesn't impact those around me. Of course it impacts those around me. And in this narrative, it's so extreme that everywhere you turn, you actually encounter some of the challenges. And when we look in the Midrashim that talk about it, rather than sit there and try to smooth it out, the Midrashim really make it even more extreme for us. There's a Midrash in Genesis Rabbah of a conversation that Isaac is having with his father. He says to him, Isaac said to him, Father, I'm young, and I suspect that my body might move from fear of the knife, and I will cause you sorrow, or the slaughter will be invalid, and the sacrifice will not rise for you. You should tie me very tight. He sent out his hand to take the knife, and tears were flowing from his eyes, and his tears were falling into the eyes of Isaac because of the compassion of a father. And we listen to that thinking, well, there's a detail I could have lived quite nicely without having brought to my attention, the conversation between father and son, where Isaac is actually telling Avram, his father, tie me tight because I'm scared. And if I shake, then you might by accident cut me, and then my whole sacrifice is invalid, so make sure to tie me tight. And then in that moment, it's telling us that Avram's tears are falling down his face, and Isaac is looking up at his father, and Isaac's eyes are catching his father's tears, and now they're rolling down his cheeks as well. And again, the commentaries tell us this is why Isaac later on will be told Isaac goes blind. What's happened is that you cannot spend your life defined by the tears of your parents, defined by ancestral tears. It takes a price, and in Isaac's case, he was crying the tears of his father, and he will become blind in the future and likewise be challenged with a relationship with his sons because of his blindness, because of everything he's carrying from his father at that moment. We go into another midrash from Yalkut Shimoni, and it talks about, again, the conversation that Isaac is having with his father. And he's turning to his father and he's saying to him, essentially, children are supposed to take care of their parents in their old age. He turns to his father and he says, "Father, what will you do when you reach your old ages?" Avram answers and says, "My son, we know that our deaths are near." And that statement again, the price. Isaac is turning to his father and saying, "What will happen when you get old? Who will take care of you?" And Avram is answering him and saying, "What makes you think I'll live through this? What makes you think the ultimate price won't be paid? And that in fact, doing to you what I am now about to do to you will in fact end Avram's life as well." It becomes so heartbreaking everywhere we go. And we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this to ourselves on Rosh Hashanah and the high holidays? Why are we reading this narrative in particular? And of course, the question of, as I read it, who am I supposed to be in all of this? Where do I find my own setting within that narrative? Am I Isaac? Am I Avram? Am I Sarah? Am I the entity that asks the impossible of those around me? Is it the voice of God? Who am I? And again, we're lost in all of it. But when we pull back, we realize that it's happening within a context. So we begin to look deeper and try to get a sense of what's going on. This is a journey that Avram and Sarah and God have embarked on. And in the very beginning, God approaches them and says, "Follow me, and I'll show you this amazing relationship. Come and follow me." And in that positioning, of course, God is in front and Avram is behind because he doesn't know where he's going. So God is leading and Avram is following. And then later on in the text, God turns to Avram and says, "I'm seeing and hearing suffering in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what to do about it. I'm going to go down. And if in fact it's as bad as I think it is, I'm going to wipe them all out." And Avram argues with him. Avram turns to God and says, "How dare you? That's not justice. How dare you call yourself the judge if you're going to do that?" And starts to bargain with God and essentially introduces a revolutionary concept by saying you cannot equate good and evil on a one-to-one basis. That the power of the righteousness of 10 can carry thousands, tens of thousands. The value of good far outweighs what evil could do. Avram is the one who initiates that concept. Avram is the one who gets God to agree. So in that moment, Avram is leading, and they've changed positions of covenant. As we look at the text with the binding of Isaac, we're told something very interesting a number of times. It tells us, "And the two of them walked together." And we have to ask who's walking together, because it already told us Avram and Isaac are walking together. So who are the two that are walking together? And of course, we have commentaries telling us that's God and Isaac walking together. That's God and Avram walking together. And in fact, it's the two of them, Avram and God, walking side by side. The moment on the mountain is going to challenge their relationship in every aspect that both brought, that God brought and that Avram brought, and the two of them are walking side by side through this experience and through that encounter. And it's a very strong positioning that we have in covenant, because we saw in the very beginning God was leading. We saw as we continued through, Avram was leading. And now we get to that moment of partnership where it's side by side. And that is the ultimate strength of covenant, is when we reach that partnership with God of side by side. What happens when this experience is now viewed through that lens? We get to the altar, things are about to happen, and just as Avram is about to carry out this horrific act, with Isaac on the altar, he stops. He's stopped by an angel. And then we're told that Avram sees there's a ram caught by the horns in the thicket nearby. Avram takes the ram and sacrifices it instead of Isaac. God didn't tell him to do that. That's Avram doing that. God stopped him from sacrificing Isaac, but did not tell him, now go get a ram. That's Avram doing that. That's because they're side by side. So that God can stop Avram, Avram can complete the task in an alternate way, a different way. He substitutes the ram. There's the key to everything, and there's the ancestral gift of what we see in this narrative and why it's so important to us. Avram begins again to take that lead voice from side by side. One of the Midrashim tells us that Avram actually has been waiting for this moment because he turns to God and says to God, "You know," Avram says, "I could have argued about this and I would have won. I have promises from you that you made to me. I could have pulled out all those promises and how they were going to culminate with Isaac. And I could have won this argument just like I won the argument about Sodom and Gomorrah. I could have won this argument and spared all of us all of this. And I chose not to." And the Midrash says, Avram says, "I chose not to because I'm banking it. You owe me this one." And therefore, our tradition tells us that when the shofar is blown, we are reminding God that God must keep Isaac's descendants protected and safe because of what Avram did, because this is owed to Avram. And that is a remarkable concept, to be able to say that the ancestral gift that is being given to us at that moment is to actually secure every future child. The reality of the binding of Isaac is that all relationships are going to break on that mountain. No relationship will survive it. Avram will never again speak with God. God will never again speak with Avram. Avram and Isaac do not speak with each other again. And Sarah dies. So everyone loses Sarah. No relationship survives that moment. But every future Jewish child is now safe. No child will ever end up on the altar of their parents crying the tears of their parents or their ancestors. This put an end to that. Avram saw past the moment and stood in front of God and said, "I could have won this argument. I didn't. I gave up my moment of victory. I give up all my relationships to secure all my children who are destined to be born. I take the ram and I offer the ram as a sacrifice." And Avram says, "My message to you, God, is there's always another way. There's always a different route to get where you want to go. It does not have to come at human suffering. It does not have to come at the expense of our relationships. Find another way." When we look at that and we realize it is definitely challenging, it is definitely heartbreaking, and it is yet the most powerful gift that ancestry could ever give us, and that is the empowerment to stand before God, blow the shofar, and say, "Remember, you can find another way to get where destiny needs to go." When we look at it that way, we read the text now on the high holidays and say, of course we would read this when we're all gathered together. Of course it's for the high holidays when we talk about our destinies and protecting our children. What better text could we in fact have found to read together?